3:17. Dan quoted 3:16 up here when he led, but I'd like you to turn there. And let's just, before we go to the Word, I would like to pray and ask God's help here. So let's do that. Loving Heavenly Father, you truly amaze us with your goodness. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus who died for my sin, the sin of these people, the sin of the whole world. Thank you that he didn't just stay dead, but that he rose again in triumph, and through faith in him we're justified, declared right in your sight. Thank you that you save us, you gloriously save us through faith, and you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. You extend to us the needed help from your word and your spirit and your grace that's poured into us to live and to be and to do as you've called us to. Thank you for these folks that have gathered today who've said it's worth getting together to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for our time that we were able to sing to you, to give. And as we continue to worship around the Word, I pray that you'd move powerfully in our hearts and in our minds. Father, I know you know this. I recognize it, that the enemy would love to distract us at this time, to keep this truth from penetrating our hearts. And so I ask that you would just override that and overwhelm that and help us to look to you. Set aside the distractions. Or perhaps even bring those things that trouble us and concern us right up next to you and who you are and your capability and power. Father, I pray for the listener. I pray for all that they've been through in the past week and this past time. I pray that you would just encourage them and help them, convict them, work in their hearts and mine as well. Father, I pray that we would both respond to your word as we ought to in Christ's name. Amen. John 3:17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I recently talked to someone who took a backpacking excursion into the Porcupine Mountains. This individual enjoyed the time there and the memories that were made. That adventure was 4 days and 3 nights. This individual, they had rented cabins within the park and would pack into those different cabins. I've done some backpacking in my life, not much of it very well, but I've done some of that, and so I was inquisitive as to how much this individual packed, what it weighed, his assessment of it. He told me it weighed almost 80 pounds, which is, if you've backpacked, for most individuals, that's quite a bit to carry. And carrying 80 pounds was not fun, he told me. It slowed his progress as he hiked, and it wore him down. The first night on that trip, he realized that he'd taken way too much, and he and the rest of the guys tried to get rid of as much as they could by eating all the excess. So in this case, he was carrying much more than he needed, and it inhibited his ability to enjoy his journey. I believe that many of us are a lot in the same way in the spiritual side of things. We carry invisible scars, items in our hearts that were not meant for us to be dragging, to be carrying along in this life. As followers of Christ, we're not exempt from that kind of thing. We're not exempt from some memory, some measure of guilt here or there. Something may trigger, you know, a memory, might be a person, might be a situation, might be a place where we've had an incident. We've not done well. Maybe we've sinned against someone or someone against us, whatever it would be. Those kind of things can steal our joy and steal the joy that I think is rightly ours in Christ. Those things may weigh heavy, heavy upon us. Now, my hope today is that when we are done with this teaching, we'll understand that God never intended for us to be weighed down with the weight of sins that have been placed under the cross, that have been forgiven. Those iniquities that Jesus took to the cross and paid the penalty for, I don't believe He's made us or desires for us to carry them. What I would like you to realize today is that God's heart toward us is to save us that we might live free from the guilt of our past. Contained in this one verse that we have read is the heart of God toward us, toward men. As we examine this verse, I believe that you'll see that you and I need never to carry our sin or the guilt that we may feel at times when we remember it. We've dealt with it at the cross. As God has dealt with it, we can go forward. We can go on, having been reconciled, having been fully forgiven. This particular message has been on my heart for a couple months. Today, we're doing something different. We're not in the book of Acts. We do have a few messages there, and we'll be done with that. But this is a topical sermon that is going to deal with this. So Jesus reveals something to us in this verse. And what he exposes to us is the heart of our great and amazing God. I want you to know something about what he says here. First of all, and by the way, there's an outline in your bulletin. If you'd like that, I'll have some scriptures on the overhead. We'll be moving through various scriptures, so that can be a help to you as well. But his heart, God's heart, is not to judge us. Look again at verse 17. God did not send his Son or the Son into the world to judge or condemn the world. That was not the heart of God in sending his Son. That's not where he's at. He is merciful. He's merciful. To judge here, it's the idea of condemning the wicked with a view to punish or take vengeance upon them. That's not what God did in sending his Son. It wasn't so he could say, okay, I got him now. My wrath will be poured out. In other words, Jesus is saying that God didn't send me in order that his wrath could and would be poured out upon mankind. He has extended mercy to us. The mercy of God is defined as him withholding the judgment that we rightly deserve. Why would we deserve judgment? Well, we deserve judgment because we've not always acted the way we should. We have a sin problem. James 2:10 says this, and this is for every man, every woman, every child. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he's become guilty of all, guilty of the whole law. So if you've ever coveted, if you've ever lied, which you have and I have, we're guilty before God. That's just the plain truth. That's why we need God's mercy. And God is merciful in withholding in time from us that which we rightly deserve. Punishment. His wrath. We rightly deserve that. That wasn't why God sent his Son. It wasn't for that purpose. God's heart is to save us from the penalty of our sin. It is to forgive us. There's a wonderful verse, a couple verses in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3, and 4. This is good and acceptable. That, bringing this in context, Paul's been talking to Timothy about praying for those in authority over us, kings and so forth. He says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires, note, all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires that each of us come to faith in his Son, that we might have a right relationship. He desires all men to be saved. To be saved. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God to you and I. He's merciful. He rightly could pour out his judgment at any moment in time on us because he's holy and just, and yet he withholds it. That's mercy. God is merciful. Jesus said, God did not send the Son or me into the world to judge the world. That's not why he sent me. He's merciful to us. Not only is this the heart of our Father, it is equally the heart of his Son. Jesus perfectly reflected the Father. In Hebrews 2:17, it says this of the Son, therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation or a satisfying sacrifice to for the sins of the people. That's Jesus. That's why he came. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. God is merciful. He desires all men to come to faith in his Son. Not all will. Few will. Not all will. Many, most will go the other way. But for those who will humble themselves, God is standing there with his arms wide open, ready to receive us. And Jesus is the same way. He came on a rescue mission for me, for you, because we needed rescue. All of us are guilty before God because of what we've done. How will we pay for that sin? There's nothing we can do in and of ourselves. God has done it in the sending of his Son. Jesus perfectly reflects the heart of the Father. Now, God is merciful, and his heart is not, this isn't what his heart is about, not to judge us. It's not that. But if we reject his gracious offer of eternal life in Christ, we remain under our sin and are condemned because of our rejection of his Son. You're in John 3 there. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. For the person who says, you know, I'm good enough myself, I got it on my own, I've done all these things better than my neighbor, I've always treated people in a good and wonderful way and whatever that is, and I haven't done this, haven't done that, and I believe when it's all stacked up, the good's going to outweigh the bad. That is a lie. God clearly says we have life, we are saved from our sin through faith alone in Christ alone. And if we reject that gracious offer, God's wrath abides on him, and to die in that way, in that place, in that state, would be to spend eternity in a place called hell. That's not God's will for man. That's not God's desire for man. He wants to save us. So he's merciful. He's also loving. You'll note here, he sent his Son into this mess that is the world. In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Verse 17, God did not send the Son into the world. He sent his Son for us, for me, for you. He's loving. He sent him for sinful man. An amazing truth is before us. God so loved the world that he gave. In sending Jesus, he sent his Son to rescue us from death. To give us life. Simply put, others may not be for you. But I want you to know that God is crazy in love with you. And he loves sinners such as we are. He loves us. He loves you warts and all. You know, he knows every detail of every life. I have to tell you, in the last couple months, there are, you know, as you walk with the Lord, there are different things that will really impact you at times. I don't know how this happened, but in the last couple of months, this whole thought of God's love for me is quite overwhelming. The more I get my mind around this a bit, I can't believe what he's done. That's amazing that he would love me, warts and all. He knows all. You guys don't know all about me. Told you some. And you know, I don't stand up before you as some pious, righteous, self-righteous individual. No, I'm a sinner, and I've been saved by grace. That's it. God loves me. I can't understand how we do that. I think it's hard for us to get our mind around this because, you know, some of us have experienced the love of others, and if we live up to something and can give them something, and we act in such a way, man, they're all for us, right? But if you don't, yeah, you're not going to get much attention. God loves you. God loves you, warts and all. He's not only merciful, he's not only loving, but he is willing. Here is our God, loving sinful man. He doesn't stand aloof. He doesn't stand distant, uncaring, or unengaged. He is for us and extends his loving arms to each of us and says this, I'm willing to have a relationship with you. You need to come through my son by faith. I'm willing. I'm willing to give you eternal life. I'm willing to forgive you. I'm willing to give you daily grace to help you along. I'm willing to give you daily bread to help you through. I'm willing to take those ugly things in life, those tragedies, those hard things, and I'm willing to work those out for good. I'm willing to grow you into what my son would have you to be and to look like him. And he stands with his arms wide open. He says, I'm willing. I desire to give you life. You know, there's only one person who can stop this miracle of the moment, this salvation, this new creation of a person, and that's you. He's willing to take us as his own, just as we are. You don't need to clean yourself up. You can't clean yourself up. He's just willing, willing, willing. He says, I paid for that sin and that sin and that sin. I put it on my son. And my wrath was poured out on him. He died. He didn't stay dead. He extends an invitation to each one of us. John 5:24, Jesus extends that invitation. It's the heart of the Father. Truly, truly, he says, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. There's an offer there that no one can make and that no one can deliver apart from our great God and his great Son. He says, I'm willing. He says, I want to offer to you a clean slate. I want to forgive you. I want you to know I love you. He wants a relationship. But that relationship isn't by doing. It isn't by being baptized. It isn't by coming into a building. It isn't by a pastor or a priest saying something or giving you something. No, it's through him alone. Religion can't do that. Only a relationship can do that, and that's a relationship with God. And he's willing. He's willing. Why would anyone in their right mind turn this down? This is a work of the Spirit, and the Spirit must open our hearts to this. It seems so simple, and yet it often is so far away from us. But I want you to know he's willing. I want you to know he's loving. I want you to know he's merciful. And his heart is not to judge you. He wants a relationship with you. He loves you. He knows everything about you. Well, his heart isn't to judge. His heart is to save. Look at verse 17 again. God didn't send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This is amazing grace. See, God being merciful allows him then to be gracious. Because he's withheld the judgment we deserve, his arms are open, his heart's open to pour out grace. Amazing, amazing grace. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor. His offer to save is a result of him being merciful. He's withheld what we deserve. And as a result, he's free to offer us the gift of eternal life, a free gift by grace. What we deserve is judgment, God's righteous condemnation and his vengeance. But God is gracious. There's a wonderful verse here in Ephesians 2:4-5, a couple of verses here. And the previous verses have really just kind of looked at how an individual is before God before they're saved. Dead in their sins. And the scripture lays it out in those first three verses, and then there's this pause for God. But God, being rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He's made us alive in Christ. It's by grace. He's offered to us a gracious invitation to take a gift of eternal life, to be forgiven. That's what he's offered to us. Now, I need to say something before I go further. I began by talking about guilt a little bit, about carrying a burden. Everything I'm giving you is bringing this to a climax. This isn't just a message for those who may not yet know Christ. This is a message for every one of us in Christ. And it's because of this great, merciful, gracious work that we come to this great truth that we don't have to carry our sin, and the guilt of it has been dealt with, and we're fully forgiven. He offers that by amazing grace. Again, if you're in the text, look at verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's a gracious offer. Notice verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. It's by faith. You believe. It's not, again, what you can do, what you can offer to God. It's by faith. And look at verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Present tense, has. Well, this is amazing love. Not only amazing grace, his heart is to save us. Here is amazing grace and amazing love. His love prompted him to send his Son in order that we might be saved. God loves me and he loves you. Hard to grasp, perhaps because of our experience on this side of heaven. Depending on a person or situation, the love that we have known on this side of heaven may or may not in some way mirror the love of God. Don't know what your experience is. But whatever that experience is, if it's negative, it may be negative and it's never fully to that of God's. But his heart is to love us. It's unconditional love. He knows us. He knows what we don't even know. He knows us and loves us when we don't think about him, when we don't obey him, when we don't bother to pray. He still loves us. He knows every thought, good and bad. He knows everything. Our souls and our entire lives are laid bare before him. And he doesn't love us because of what we can offer him. You might say, Pastor, wasn't this a point that you had under the first, under your first points? Wasn't this a sub-point? And I would say, yes. It is. I'm not going crazy, and I haven't lost it. At least, I don't think so. But I can't get away from this. This is amazing love. Amazing love that God has poured his affection upon us. It's just amazing. So there's amazing grace, amazing love, and amazing offer. We were here before. What an offer. He offers to anyone and everyone the gift of eternal life. He just offers it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. There are some things we have trouble accessing. You might say, I can't get a ticket to that event. Or I don't know so-and-so and I can't get in. God's offer is to every person. God sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved. He's offered his Son that whoever believes, verse 16, and here I am in 5:24 again. He makes this offer to you. And I will say to you that you need to respond to this offer and take it today. If you've not, take it today. If you've never trusted Christ, do that today. Do that at this moment, right where you're at. Maybe you've come in here and you've thought, you know, I've been thinking if I'm just good enough or if I get to this place spiritually, then God would accept me. I want you to know that's not the way it is. He takes you as you are. Sin and all, warts and all, ugliness and all. He knows every thought, every deed. He extends to you a gift. And that extension is here and it's now. One day that will be closed to you and I. Death will come. And we will no longer be able to respond. Today is the day, the scripture says. Today's the day. You take that by faith. You cry out as a sinner to God. I'm a sinner, can't save myself. You trust him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, the scripture says. So it's amazing grace, amazing love, an amazing offer. And then here I want to park for a minute. An amazing reality. Those who have put their faith in Christ are fully forgiven. Those who have put their faith in Christ are fully forgiven. Notice what the scripture says. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son cleanses us from most sins, from the smaller sins, from the sins that aren't quite up to that really bad stuff that other people do, right? No. From what? All sin. Do you see it? All sin. Someone's carrying your sin. Your sin is upon someone. It's either on you or it's on Jesus. I have to tell you, I see this in those who have come to faith in Christ at times. When there's something in their past and they're hanging on to it. I had a Christian one time say to me, a godly man, he said, you know, and there was an event in this person's life. He said, I can't forgive myself. I thought, where are we called in Scripture to forgive ourselves? It doesn't matter if I can forgive. That's not even a point. Can God forgive me? Yeah, He can. He can forgive me. He can. Notice as well here in Colossians 2:13-14. When you were dead in your transgression and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us what? All our transgressions. All our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. All your sin. Hebrews 10 tells us, all sin, past, present, future. There was one sacrifice for sin for all time. Jesus made that sacrifice. You might say, you know, that was 2,000 years ago. How does that come? How was my sin placed on Him? God is God. He knows all things. Psalm 139 says, before there's a word on our lips, before we're born, all the days were before Him. And He placed it all on His Son there at the cross. And so whatever I've done, God has put that on Jesus and it's been paid for. That's why he can say it's been nailed to the cross and He forgives those. You know, the devil is really, I think there are a couple things here. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. I don't know how all this works. I'm not really sure. I think he can plant a thought. I think he can put something out there for us. We can grab it and we remember, right? Wow, way back then, what did I ever do that for? I was downstate. And we were at a family reunion, and we had this, when I grew up, we had this little farm all tractor. And I used to take that was our transportation. It wasn't a vehicle, it wasn't a four wheeler, it was this farm all tractor tricycle front end. There are a lot of great memories on that tractor. My brother was driving that around at the family reunion, but I have a memory on that thing that's painful. Almost got killed on that thing, going up a hill with a trailer behind me. I was a young guy, and I'm pulling wheelies all up that hill. And that thing is near coming over. And it would have went over if not for the hitch. And I saw that tractor. And that comes back, you know. But it's not necessarily a sinful situation. But you know what I'm saying? There might be something. And you're thinking, I can't believe I said that or did that. I remember that. Listen, He's canceled it all. He's put it on the cross. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So any known sin for the believer, we take it to Him. We own it. We don't say, well, I'm a man, and, you know, I'm just dust, and, I'm still here in the flesh, and I sin, and whoops, no. Not that. It's I have sinned before a holy God. I could have chosen to do that which was right, and I did not. And I seek your forgiveness. And what does God do? He forgives us. If there's some you don't remember, from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. So I think our minds can do that. I think the devil can really help out with that. But when we sin, we don't just cast it aside. God doesn't do that. He doesn't just cast us aside and say, you know what? I've had enough. And listen, I'm not standing up here saying that because we're believers, we go live our lives any way we want. We just run back to God and say, whoops, there it is, forgive me. No. They'll be contrary to what I've taught and preached and what the Scripture teaches. But when we sin, it's not that we're no longer a child of God, but our fellowship with the Father has been hindered. It's been broken. And we confess that, and He just takes us back. He loves us. He loves us. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here and hopefully give some help. celiac disease. It's a disease in which the small intestine is hypersensitive to gluten, leading to difficulty in digesting food. Now, if you are a celiac or you have celiac disease and you put gluten in your body, you will be miserable. You'll be miserable. If you know Jesus and you allow your mind or the devil to put before you some past sinful failure, you cannot live in the freedom that is provided for each of us. We just can't. Learn from it, yes. Yeah, we learn from it. But to live in guilt over something that God has taken care of via the cross is not living in the freedom that Jesus offers. He's cast our sin into the sea of His forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, we read that, so far has removed our transgressions from us. And if God deals with it that way, can I ask you a question? Why would we deal with it any other way? Why, if He doesn't bring it up and He says it's gone, why would we bring it up? If we do, we're carrying a backpack that's 150 pounds and it'll weigh us down. And we'll lose, that just takes away the freedom that we have in Christ and the joy that we have. Have you been set free? Have you been set free? Jesus said this, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. If you have been set free by faith in Christ, you're free. You're forgiven. Walk in that light. I believe Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. And I believe we have no business carrying along past sins or the guilt of it where God has said, I've put that under the cross. I've released you from that. Let it go, friend. Let it go. Listen, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you thought, you know, I'm a religious person or I've got it pretty much together and you're thinking some other way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. God's heart to you and I is merciful. It's loving. It's gracious. It is to save us from our sins. If He saved you, walk in freedom, my friend. If you've got known sin in your life, take it to God. He will forgive. And then you go. You go. You sin no more. You go. You walk in freedom. And if you sin, take it to Him. Take it to Him. The Son will set you free. You'll be free indeed. Let's live in this amazing truth, okay? Let's live. Let this color your whole week and dictate how it is that you walk. He has set us free. Friend, rejoice, right? Rejoice. How good. How good. How good is God. He's set us free. I hope this will lift your heart. And you respond with thanksgiving to Him in this day. Loving Father, You are just that, our loving Father. We can't quite get our minds around the depth of Your love that You would send Your own dear Son to die for sinners, most who would cast Him aside. We thank You for that. Thank You that He didn't stay dead, that He alone is the only one to rise again, never to die again. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And through faith in Him, we are declared right before You. And by You. Thank You for that. Thank You that You have removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. We praise You for that. Thank You that You never give up on us. You never say to us, that's it. That's enough. You're no longer my child. That's amazing love. Father, there are some here today that maybe they may be carrying a backpack full of sins that have been dealt with at the cross, and they need to recognize that they don't need to carry that. Set them free from that. Father, there are others that have yet to come to faith in Christ, and their sin is on them, and it weighs them down. Would You bring them to faith? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.